Philadelphia. The Savior, walking in the church of Sardis, found a few whose garments were undefiled. They were those in whom life remained after the body was dead. And to these the call came to separate from the lifeless form, that their own life might be saved. The message of the soon coming of Christ was a universal message. It offered an opportunity to all to repent, and as many as believed took up the cry with the enthusiasm which characterized the apostolic church. They were experiencing their first love, and those who welcomed Christ were bound together with a love surpassing that of Jonathan for David. The oneness of spirit which Christ prayed might be found among his followers was more perfectly developed among those who heeded the closing message to Sardis than among any other since the day of Pentecost. And to this company of believers, scattered everywhere, yet united in heart and purpose, the name Philadelphia, signifying brotherly love, is applicable. Some who heard the Advent message accepted it through fear. Others were attracted by the forcible arguments. But whatever may have been the motive, all were tested, and those who accepted because of real love for the Savior composed the Philadelphia Church. Of this church no complaint is made, and as love is the ruling power of the throne of God, the Savior appears to recognize the Philadelphian Church as a part of his own being, heirs with Christ of the everlasting promises made to David. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. When the call was made, saying, "The bridegroom cometh," Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, passed into the presence of his Father, there to receive dominion and power, and a door in heaven was opened to the faithful and true ones on earth. This door was the entrance into the most holy place in the temple, where Jehovah sat enthroned over the mercy seat. He is surrounded by his angels, and the law of God is the foundation of his throne. This was shown in type and shadow in the tabernacle, built by Moses. To Israel in the wilderness, the glory of God appeared in the Shekinah above the mercy seat. The attention of the Philadelphian church is directed to the heavenly sanctuary. It was opened by the Savior himself as he entered the most holy place at the close of the 2300 days. He sends the message to all, "I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." The door stands open to all who by faith will enter, and no combination of circumstances instigated by men or demons can shut out the soul that keeps the eye of faith centered upon the Savior within that shining portal. The time of test for those who were looking for their Lord came in the autumn of 1844. At first, the expiration of the 2300 days was thought to be in the spring of 1844. On further investigation, it was found that the decree of Artaxerxes, from which the prophetic period is reckoned, went into effect in the autumn of the year 457 BC. Hence, this reckoning would cause those days to expire in the autumn of 1844 AD. Here was a waiting time, in which those who loved the Lord prepared by deep heart-searching to receive him. Many inquired, "What must I do to be saved?" Those who were looking upward received the light of the investigative judgment. When in the autumn of 1844 the door in heaven opened, and Christ approached the Father. But many, who had only professed to believe in the Advent, changed when the time passed and he did not come, and now scoffed at those who still clung to the message. "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." The heavenly door opened, but those who turned back to the world were left in darkness, while those who sought earnestly for their mistake in interpreting prophecy received a flood of light straight from the throne. Through this open door in the heavenly temple, there was seen the ark of his testament, containing the Ten Commandments. And from that time the Sabbath of the fourth commandment became a test to the people of God. The God who had led his people thus far was still leading them by his word. many precious rays of light that had been hidden by tradition during the Dark Ages now opened up to their understanding. The Sabbath reform now became the message to the world. The traditions which connected the Philadelphian church with the Dark Ages were portrayed in vivid colors, and man was called to exalt the law of God and remove his foot from desecrating the Sabbath of Jehovah. Hitherto, all the Protestant churches opened their doors to receive the message. But when the Sabbath truth was proclaimed, the churches closed their doors against those who had accepted the new doctrine. When the door in heaven opened, the doors of the Protestant churches closed. Every open door should be a reminder of the heavenly door opened by Christ, which no man can close, from whose portals shines forth a stream of light upon the pathway of all whose minds are stayed upon Him. Those who forsook the new light that came with the open door are referred to as those of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. As the Jewish nation at the first advent turned from the Savior and rejected the Son of God, so many in 1844 crucified the Son of Man afresh. But He will one day be lifted up in the eyes of all men, and those who have followed close beside Him, entering by faith within the second veil, will be seated on thrones and will reign with Him. To the disciples in Gethsemane was given an opportunity to drink of the cup of which He drank. To the faithful ones in 1844, it was likewise given to drink of the cup of the world's scorn. To such is the promise, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." Before His second coming, there will be such a time as the world has never seen. God's people will be saved from this, for He will hide them in His pavilion. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Patience will be developed by keeping the commandments and by clinging to the faith of Jesus. If he tarry, wait for him, for he says to Philadelphia, "Behold, I come quickly." To the faithful in Thyatira, the angel said, "That which ye have already, hold fast till I come." To Philadelphia came the words, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." The people in Thyatira may have had but a few rays of light, compared with those living in the later period. For the light was but dawning in Thyatira, while its midday rays shone in Philadelphia. But the crown is the reward of character, and he who receives one will have been faithful to all the light which shone upon his pathway. Heaven can be enjoyed by those only who have developed a character in harmony with the truth. Every man is a candidate, but only he who striveth lawfully will inherit the crown. It belongs to him who receives a white stone with a new name. For 6,000 years, the angelic hosts have been watching for the circle of perfection to be completed. And when the last character mold is filled, time will cease to be. Some from the Philadelphian church will become pillars in the temple of God. Living pillars, holding up a structure of life. The most wonderful promises are made to those living in this period. For heaven itself was spread out before the overcomer. And yet, this is true for all who overcome. The message to the Philadelphian period reaches to the end of time, and all who receive the crown will have passed through its experiences. The patience, faith, and love of Jesus will characterize those who sit at last on the left and on the right of the throne in heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.